With Rose Scott, I'm Dennis O'Hare. This is A Closer Look on listener-supported 90.1 WABE. You can follow us on Twitter at WABE News. Rose, the city of Lilburn in Gwinnett County is getting ready to build a brand new city hall, $10.5 million worth. Now, while it may be brand new, the mood it's going for is nostalgic.
And Dennis, this is part of a growing list of suburban cities that are trying to reinvent themselves as competitive small towns, as we hear from WABE's Tasneem Shama.
The centerpiece of Lilburn's revitalization plan is a new city hall. But it won't really look new. It's trying to look old. There will be a watchtower with, yes, an analog, not a digital clock. Doug Stacks is the city's planning director.
We've had suburban sprawl for so long that people are looking for a small town atmosphere where they know their neighbors and can walk into a city park or to a greenway.
Other suburban Atlanta cities like Sandy Springs, Alpharetta, Brookhaven, and Milton are also joining the bandwagon in building new city headquarters. Professor Ellen Dunham Jones teaches urban design at Georgia Tech. She's also co-author of the book Retrofitting Suburbia. She says it's a national trend.
You see the same strip malls with the same chain stores everywhere, and the suburbs are competing by really trying to develop a much more unique identity and distinctive sense of place.
Construction of the new City Hall in Lilburn is expected to be complete by the fall of 2016. Tasneem Shama, WABE News.
And Tasneem joins us now in our Closer Look studio to talk more about this local and national trend. Tasneem, welcome.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, so how'd you come up with this story?
Well, I was out in Sandy Springs recently talking to businesses that were being bought out by the city so that it could build its new city hall, which along with some other redevelopment projects will cost the city more than $100 million. And then I heard about the city of Lilburn building a new city hall and library for close to $10.5 million. And I then heard about more cities doing the same thing. And it just got me thinking about like why these suburban cities are spending so much money on building new city halls and whether it's even making a difference.
And Tasneem, you mentioned Sandy Springs, which didn't really even have a town center in the minds of a lot of residents, although some folks said, well, there's an old section. But is part of this not just to get away from the anonymity of a strip mall, but to say, hey, we have a center, we have a core, there's a place where we all can be?
Yeah, absolutely.
And is it making a difference?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I spoke to six different cities about their city halls, and most of them said it's really more than just a building. I mean, here's a clip from my interview with Jennifer Bennett. She's with the city of Smyrna.
It gave citizens a central place to come and do citizen business, which included recreation and the library and public safety. From there, we were able to work with public-private partnerships to bring retail back into the downtown, also residential back into the downtown.
And Smyrna finished its City Hall project in 1996, and it had a huge impact there. I mean, what caught my attention was the motivation behind their downtown revitalization project. I mean, according to its website, the city says it felt like it was beginning to, quote, lose its identity and heart to growing suburban sprawl in Cobb County. So this was a way for it to reinvent itself as a small town with its own identity, which is something Professor Ellen Dunham Jones talked about in the story we just heard.
Well, Tasneem, I guess as a resident of these suburban cities, the first thing that comes to mind is, okay, will this impact my wallet? Am I going to see some of my property taxes grow up? How do residents feel about these city hall projects?
I mean, there's always opposition to these projects. In Sandy Springs, there are some really old businesses that I talked to that have to be relocated, and they're not happy about it. And the cost of these projects is often something that causes concern. But at the end of the day, it's like really a way for residents to take ownership of their city. Like, people want to feel proud of where they live. And for a long time, maybe they were defined by the city of Atlanta, and they were just a bedroom community, east or west of Atlanta. And now they want to be more than that. But Professor Ellen Dunham Jones explains that there are some challenges.
We're seeing the public sector has been doing the planning to try to entice developers to build more walkable urbanism in suburbia. There are challenges, though. Right now, the banks have more than enough projects in the city of Atlanta to be working on, where the market is that much more proven. So we aren't seeing quite as much financing yet loosening up.
So this is where the residents of suburbia come in. I mean, these cities are deciding to make a public investment in their city hall and downtown spaces. And Dunham Jones says there's a hope, and she expects that eventually more mixed-use urban developments by the private sector will follow. And cities like Smyrna, Duluth, Sewanee, and Decatur are examples of where this has worked.
Yeah, and Tasneem, that's a key point. I think they're expecting that, okay, this will attract private development as well. But I think a lot of people remember the big fight in Fulton County over what was several decades ago a new and palatial at the time government complex down there. And there were huge fights over that. So a lot of people living in the suburbs might say, okay, I don't want to do that. I don't need a fancy city hall.
Yeah, but still, it's that sense of city pride, and also cultural attitudes are changing. I mean, people want to be living in spaces that have a nice city hall where the town center is a place you want to visit. Professor Ellen Dunham Jones explained it really well to me. I mean, she says that, you know, the suburbs used to be marketed as a place with great schools, privacy, and spacious homes, but the demographics are changing if you look at it. I mean, it's not just families who live in the suburbs. There are more 1-to-2-person households with no children. And then you have baby boomers who enjoyed their privacy while they were raising their children, but now they want to feel like they're part of a social community. And she also said that folks in their late 30s and 40s, they're still raising their children in the suburbs like their parents. But it's the folks in their 20s and early 30s, the millennials, who are also responsible.
This generation grew up in the suburbs and said, no, sorry, folks, it's boring. We want to move back into the cities. And they are really driving this interest in more live, work, walk, play kind of lifestyle, mixed use type places. Developers have seen that, you know, in Atlanta, they get on average about 112% rent premium for buildings that are located and contribute to a walkable urban place.
Test name here again. We have something that's customized for the millennials. We keep hearing about this population that's walking among us and how whatever makes them happy is sort of the trend that, you know, really relate to a lot of different stuff here. So suburban life used to be sort of like, not like Pleasantville, but now they want to be more hip, more urban. So
yeah.
What's the next step here? I mean,
you have to be attractive because these suburban areas are trying to keep the population. You know, so if all of the young folks are moving out, then you're not going to have people living in your communities.
But the key to that is something we just talked about a little minute ago is okay, you got to attract more private development. And because if people want to be able to live near where they work, there has to be places for them to work.
Absolutely.
In these communities. So there's that balance. Okay, if you get more development in there, do you ruin the small town feel that you've just built up?
Yeah, there is that delicate balance, and you have to weigh that carefully. So, I mean, I think that for now, like having
other planners thinking about that at this point, did you get that impression?
I mean, right now they're just trying to be competitive with, you know, the city of Atlanta and other big cities.
Well, when you talk about urban sprawl, a city like Atlanta can handle that. But for many of these suburban cities, they are nestled and just by
Ooh,
boundaries.
Nestled.
Yeah, I know. You know, just earlier today in talking with the mayor of Roswell, you know, there's not a whole lot of space even for a cell tower. So, you know, do you keep sort of taking up what little green space these suburban cities have just to come up with a nice fancy building? This ought to be an interesting story to continue to watch.
Definitely.
WABE's Tasneem Shamet, thank you so much for coming in and sharing that story.